This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tomb.
And I'm Skeleton.
We finally did it. We got it.
Halloween month, baby.
Halloween month. Tim, Halloween month this year has 5 Sundays.
So, Sunday.
And Sunday night. Like Sunday night and Monday morning, depending on where you are in the world, that's when our episodes come out. So right. Guess what? 5 Halloween month episodes.
I love it, Tom.
Yeah.
Can't get enough.
Some people would
Halloween.
Say it's a curse that we've been cursed.
Why would you say that? Cursed with 5 weeks?
Yeah. Somebody put a curse on us. Now you'll have to do 5 this year because of like something we said last year.
Yeah.
And when there was when a did they come the up 13th? With what next year's calendar is going to be?
When do they come out? Yeah. I don't know. They're probably, I think, sometime in Q4. I think we should find out what the days are.
You ever
there's a calendar company, right? How far in advance are they? Like, you know, like, oh, we got the layouts for, you know.
I think it's probably just software at this point, Tim. I don't think they even have to make the layout.
All right, sorry. I interrupted you, and you're right.
I think they could probably just be like, all right, for whatever, let's say tomorrow, the year 2152 is a big deal. Everybody's like, oh, man, you hear what's going to happen in 2152? I can't wait. And they get so excited, even though nobody's going to be alive today. In 2152, maybe. That they're like, we got to buy calendars. The calendar company, Tim, they could spin it up tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, there are also those people that are like, June 14th, 1976. And they'll be like, Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, have you ever met anybody that's like that.
Just none other than Mary Lou Henner herself.
Oh, well, Mary Lou Henner, Tim, she remembers everything.
Yeah.
That's one of her things.
I know.
So weird. And she's like one of the few people in the world with like a actual photographic memory.
Yeah. She remembers like every detail of what happens to her on every day. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
They should have her do audiobooks live.
Of books she's read in the past?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she, right? She claims she can, like, remember every word of every book she's ever read.
I mean, if, yeah.
Yeah, and, if it's true.
If it's true, Mary Lou Henner, like, rent out a theater and be like, hey, it's Angela's Ashes on Saturday night.
Wait, so it'd be a live audiobook that would be performed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how we know she's not reading off a page.
Right. Okay.
Or a teleprompter.
Yeah.
And she'll be blindfolded, too.
And she won't be given much notice. Or she won't be told which book it will
be
that she's read. She has to give a list of all the books she's ever read.
She gives the producers of the show, Us, her Goodreads password.
Right.
We'll go in there. We'll see. Okay. She purports to have read this book. And this has to be one of those things where, like, we'll have audience members on the stage. They'll put, like, coins on her eyes.
Wait, why do they have to put coins on her eyes? Like, she's dead?
No. And then they tape those, and then they put a blindfold on. So she can't have, like, a prompter. So, And then
so she can't have a prompter inside the blindfold?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a thing.
What do you mean? Like VR goggles have things.
Well, you would notice if she had VR goggles underneath a.
They could do thin. They could do technology. Tom.
I'd like to see it. I would love a blindfold that lets me read a book inside.
Yeah, go to Vegas and see one of these magic shows. Man, I'm sure they got all sorts of things hidden inside of blindfolds.
Yeah, magician's blindfolds. They'll be happy to show you.
Anyway, we'll have audience members verifying mm-hmm. that there's no technology in the blindfold. Mm-hmm. And then she's told the book on stage.
Wow, in front of everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're taking a risk as an audience member. It could suck.
Oh, yeah. It could be.
You could be like, oh, a million little pieces. That book's full of lies.
Yeah, or the telephone book in 1989.
I don't think she read the whole thing.
Maybe she did. Maybe she's got a voracious appetite for knowledge because she remembers everything.
Right.
Two things I want to say about Mary Lou Henner's memory before we move okay. on. One is, I think it's funny, I remember there was like some, like 2020 or one of those news magazine shows. Like they did a story about like the five people in the world that have like actual photographic memory. And it's weird because one of them is Mary Lou Henner. So it's like a group of regular people and they're like, she was in Taxi.
Taxi. Yeah.
That's one thing. Tim, I forgot the second thing. I can't. Mary Lou Henner, I am not.
Yeah. It's embarrassing, Tom.
God, it is embarrassing. What the hell was the second thing? It was something to do
That's with. Something you'll never hear Mary Lou Henner say, my friend.
No, I remember what it was now. That's something you will hear her say about everything. shit, did I forget again? Oh, no, I remember what it is. Let me say it before I forget it forever.
Jesus Christ.
It must be.
I'll just call an ambulance real quick while you relate this anecdote.
Start having them on standby outside before we record anyway. During the break, ask me who the current president is just to make sure we're on the same page.
Before you forget, what's the second thing?
It must be weird for her because she's always been like this. So it's probably very hard for her to like relate to other people and imagine what it's like to not be able to remember everything.
Right.
Because you ever hear about people that don't have a voice in their head?
You know, I might be one of those people.
You've never talked to yourself in your head?
I can't tell if I do. I don't think I do. I don't think I hear like a voice. I don't hear myself going like, oh, an ice cream truck. Wow, Tim.
Sounds like you do.
That seems like a nice sweet treat. Why don't you use your legs and walk over to that there truck and to buy
it's
yourself
not
an
like
ice cream
that. It's not a man inside my head that's just telling me everything to do.
So what is it?
It's like you would see an ice cream truck and you would think in your head, like, should I have ice cream? I don't know. I'm having dinner late. It's almost dinner time.
I'll maybe have those thoughts, but like not in a verbal way. Like I won't.
Then how do you picture them? Visual?
No,
you see it spelled out?
No, it's just something I know. It's like, I know there's ice cream there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'd like some.
So you just know everything. You never think about anything.
There's not like a commentary being like,
no, I got.
I don't like if I see a blue car. I don't hear like it's not in my head going like, "Hey Tim, that's a blue car." It's just like I know, hey, blue car.
That's it in my head. That does. Hey Tom, look at that blue car. You don't see that every day. Oh, look, another one. Wow, must be our lucky day.
Come to think of it, I see several blue cars a day.
Anyway, Tim. We're not here today to talk about Mary Lou Henner and her amazing ability to recall anything.
Yeah, but we probably should talk more about
it. And we're not here to talk about her illustrious acting career. Taxi, other things.
Yeah. What else was Mary Lou Henner in? You'd think, you know, at least she'd get hired a lot. It's like, oh, she won't forget her lines, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think she'd be a director's dream.
Yeah, but I guess not.
Or she'd be in a lot of movies having like long monologues. Like, oh boy, who are we going to get to do this long monologue? Oh, we'll get Mary Lou Henner in.
That's exactly why I suggested the live audiobooks, yeah. Tom. L.A. Story, mm-hmm. Noises Off.
Okay.
Johnny Dangerously.
All right.
NCIS Los Angeles.
Yeah, like a recurring
role? Just one episode. She played Elizabeth Kilbride. She murdered the woman who's getting married.
Probably. With a name like that. Anyway, Tim, we're not here to talk about Mary Lou Henner. We're here to, unless she comes up naturally during the conversation.
She might.
She might. We're talking about cursed movies, cursed films.
Right. Productions where, hey, they're getting together. Hey, let's make a movie, maybe a horror movie. In some cases, a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And then there's just things that go wrong.
Well, it's interesting you said that because I was looking at there's kind of like two types of cursed movies. There's cursed movies where they're about something occultish.
And like people feel like, oh, maybe we've disturbed some sort of spirit.
Or
and
we've
then
pissed off some spirit by doing this. And they're cursing this. They're having their revenge.
Right.
And then there are some that seem cursed for no real reason at all.
I'll tell you this, Tom. Mm-hmm. A lot of this, you know, in my research, a lot of it, number one, seems to be a product of the fact that movies and movie making
involve a lot of people.
Involve a lot of people. But also, like, in the past and sometimes in present day, like, a lot of it's slapdash in a lot of cases. So, like, they might not be the most professional places.
Mm-hmm. I know, Tim. You've been defending John Landis' decisions on the set of the Twilight Zone movie for years.
Here's the thing, Tom. That's not funny. We shouldn't make jokes about that.
You said, they should have got that helicopter.
No, I think that's disgusting, Tom. When I there's a time like 15 years ago I was really pissed off.
You're
about
like, look, hey, that's the movie business. Sometimes people get decapitated.
No, that's really not funny, Tom.
But that's what you're saying, essentially. Like, look, it's a dangerous business. Sometimes things happen. It's slapdash.
No, I think John Landis should be in jail.
For people that don't know what we're talking about,
Tom likes to make jokes about...
No, I'm not making jokes. You were the one making jokes, and I was just repeating them. The Twilight Zone movie, there was an horrible onset. I don't even want to call it like an accident, because it wasn't like an accident. It was...
Well, things did not go as planned.
Things did not go as planned, but it was...
negligence.
Negligent. Yeah. Although they were not found that way, where they Vic Morrow, actor in it, was shooting a scene with two kids, very young children. I have their names here too.
That's all right. We don't need to.
7-year-old Micah Din Lee and 6-year-old Renee Xinyi Chen. It was like a Vietnam War scene, and the explosion went off and hit the helicopter above them, tilted the helicopter forward. The helicopter crashed and decapitated all three of them.
Right.
But they were filming at 2:20 in the morning with children doing a stunt. Apparently, the children, they were children of mutual acquaintances. And they were paid cash to keep their names off the payroll. And a production secretary later reported remembering Landis joking, "We're all going to jail."
Right.
It was a joke because he was like, "We'll never go to jail."
Yeah. And he was right.
Yeah.
Did not go to jail.
Yeah.
And, like, my blood boils every time I think about this. Yeah. And like.
Yeah. I mean, I do apologize for joking about it because it's unbelievably awful.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
And nobody, and nobody suffered any consequence. I think like the pilot who was like, "I don't want to do this." Like he lost his license.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, then you know what? That's fine. Justice okay. has been served.
Yeah. No, I forget. There's a story about like that. It you know like ruined that guy's life because like,
I'm sure.
Yeah, because you know he lived with that guilt, but also like. He didn't want to do it in the first place, and he was, like, forced to.
Yeah. Which I don't know.
They like threaten like you'll never work in this town again type thing.
Yeah. Well, jokes on them. He didn't.
Yeah. But that's an example of like a cursed film. I don't consider that cursed.
I don't think that's a cursed film.
That's an accident. Yeah, an accident that happened on set.
That's negligence from Slapdash Production.
Yeah.
And it's not cursed. I got all riled up about this about 15 years ago. I went to a party, Tom, in Red Hook.
Yeah.
I don't remember who I was with. I was with like one of our, you know, remember we had like B team friends back then? Where it's like, they're not my first choice to hang out with, but they're around. I'll like,
yeah.
So I was with some of the B teamers. They were going to, like, I didn't really know anybody there. It's a party full of strangers.
Uh-huh.
And I got drunk and started like being all mad about John Landis for some reason. I was talking this girl's ear off about how he should be in jail and like how like this is a horrible tragedy and like it's all his fault and children were, and she's like, well, I'm in the film industry and John,
I'm going to do something about
it. No, she said, and John Landis is my mentor.
Wow.
I work very closely with him on
and
a lot
I've
of things.
I've never heard about any
That's
of this.
Exactly what she
really?
Said. And
do
she's
a
like,
Google search.
This is all news to me. And I was just like, if you're out there, Google your goddamn mentors.
Yeah. Hey, that goes for everybody out there. Google your mentors. Make sure they haven't killed a bunch of people through negligence.
Tom, I like that you interrupted me three times as I was trying to complete that last sentence. And each time it wasn't as bad as what actually happened.
Yeah. Oh, just that she was the mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I was also, while you're telling that story, thinking about your B team being like, we gotta stop bringing this guy around. He just he keeps cornering girls at parties and telling them about John Landis and how he should be in jail. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I wonder what, like, Saturday night in 2007 or whatever, like, what reason I was like, you know what, I gotta take Landis down. At
I thought you were gonna say, like, yeah, we went to this party in Red Hook, and who's there but John Landis?
Nope, his protege.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a cool son, though, right? He's probably a really good dad.
Yeah,
it
sounds
like
an all-around shit family. But anyway, that, and then I also have on my list of...
Who are they talking... Oh, wait, hold on. One other thing.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot about how Chevy Chase is a big dick.
Yeah, you just... Tim, you haven't looked up your mentor, Chevy Chase, before?
No, did you hear it? He went on Marin recently, right? Okay. And that, like, made waves because, like, you know, who sits down for, like, an hour-long interview with Chevy Chase these days?
Yeah,
and, like,
Well, and especially somebody like that who's, like, any gripes? Who do you hate in the industry?
Yeah. Chevy Chase brought his wife, and like she kept interjecting and be like, she's like, I'm here to help him remember things. And it's like, no, it was whenever he started talking. She was like, all right,
I'm here as his free PR person to stop him from saying anything to get himself completely canceled.
Yeah. But like, there was some, you know, I was reading some article as a follow-up to be like, about, like, it was basically a takedown of Chevy Chase, like, why he was a piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
And, like, one of the things they cited was, like, on the set of The Three Amigos, directed by John Landis.
Oh, like, right, yeah.
It's like, he gave John Landis shit for what happened on the Twilight Zone and said he didn't respect him. It was like... Oh, that actually makes me like Chevy Chase.
Oh, he's the only one that said that to him?
Yeah. I don't think that makes... Oh, yeah. When they talk about him alienating all the people he's worked with, I think, like, alienating a murderer of children is in high on my... You're on my shit list, Chase.
Chevy Chase also strikes me as the kind of person that does Google people and... that wasn't why he didn't like John Landis. That was just like the worst thing he could find about him. And so that's what he would say to him. He strikes me as like that, you know, the type of person where like you argue with them and they'll immediately just go to like, well, at least my dad didn't walk out on me.
Wait,
why? No, that's not what we were arguing about. He seems like that kind of person that just like if you like hurt his feelings a little bit, he'll be like, well, that's not what your dead wife said.
And John Land, why do people keep working with him?
I don't think they really do anymore.
They did.
They did,
like,
yeah.
Like, in the immediate aftermath.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because he was still a big name. And I don't think, like, the story had probably gotten out there completely, you know, or I'm sure,
well,
like...
that's right. People needed to invite me to more parties.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell them all about it.
So I'm including that as, like, just tragic accident. Nothing about, you know, somebody on set disrespected the devil and or the whole movie was dabbling in things they shouldn't have been dabbling in. Just a horrible accident. And yeah. Along those lines,
due to the negligence of some people, yeah, in the production, yes.
The Crow with Brandon, right, Lee. That's a little different because people claim that there's a curse on, like, the Lee family.
But, like, this is the thing.
Bruce Lee.
Famous people die.
Yeah.
And it was like, Bruce Lee died, so, like, the Lee family is cursed.
But listen to this. Bruce Lee died. I'm pretty sure this is true.
I am 100% sure what you're about to say is not true.
That when Bruce Lee died, he was making a movie about an actor who gets shot and killed by a prop gun by accident.
There's no possible way that.
But if it is true, well, then, wouldn't that be something? Then yeah. that does lead more like, you know, like how Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy and Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln and all, right, that stuff.
Yeah. Is all that stuff true?
Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
shot from a book depository and found in a theater, shot from a theater, found in a book depository, like they're
yeah,
assassins.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A whole bunch of stuff like that. So I'll kind of include The Crow, even though, again, it just sounds like, you know, nobody was like, don't make a movie about The Crow. If anything, goths were like, make a movie about The Crow.
Yeah.
We'll love that. We'll be their opening night.
Yeah.
Start the selling the shirts at Hot Topic and we'll buy them. We don't care if they're cursed. So, yeah, again, just like another very tragic thing. And I would include in that also, this is like another one where a lot of tragedy, but also like, I think that was just kind of bad timing. Have you heard about this movie, A Toque, that never got made?
Yes.
So
that one seems like, well, you go into it.
Yeah. So this movie cast, it was based on a book. They've been trying to make it for years. And over the years, they had cast John Belushi, who then died,
mm-hmm,
Sam Kennison, who actually apparently like shot a few scenes, but then he wanted to rewrite it. So they stopped production for him to do that. And then he died. Then they cast John Candy. He died. And then they cast Chris Farley and he died.
Did they officially cast them? Or this is my question.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just something like, hey, this is a role for a big guy, a big, yeah, funny guy.
That's
and like, let's send him the script. We're trying, mm-hmm, to get it going.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, too, that I don't necessarily consider that like cursed, because it's like, well, John Belushi, Sam Kennison and Chris Farley were all like similar in that they were like big guys who were loud and partied like crazy.
Right.
And they all died tragic young deaths, but I don't think any of their deaths were like a surprise to, I don't know about Sam Kennison. I don't know that much about him, but like Chris Farley, you know, there are lots of people that say like, oh yeah, Bob Odenkirk's book. He talks about, right, the last time he saw him, that he was like, this is probably going to be the last time I see him. Like, he looks awful and,
yeah,
he's, you know, high out of his mind and looks terrible. So that's like I think probably more just like a bad luck, bad, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a curse from A Toque.
Well, that's what you're saying, because you've accepted the role of A Toque.
Tim, I would never. I'd wind up.
They're looking for scabs to make some movies right now. You went down and applied. And you're like, yeah, I'll be a toque. I don't care.
They're like, look, while we're making movies with scabs anyway, let's do a bunch of Curse Productions. Let's bring them back. And that way.
You know what? SAG is probably like, you know what? Well that's fine.
We're giving a waiver to any Curse production. They can continue filming with non-union talent.
Yeah. It'd be a good kill some scabs.
Yeah. And then if somebody dies,
the scabs then people get what will be they deserve. Like,
that's what you get for crossing the picket line. And if that doesn't happen, then the theater breaks a curse. And who doesn't want to break a curse every once in a while?
Yeah.
It'd be nice if like every once in a while you ran into a friend and is how's everything going? Great. I just broke a curse that had been on me.
Yeah.
I defeated a wizard, and look, I have his sword, so now the curse is lifted.
Right, but then puts the curse on you.
Yeah, well...
For prying into his private life that way.
Has anybody ever tried to put a curse on you think?
Not that I'm aware of. I do... Look, I don't believe in a lot of stuff.
But you do believe in curses?
I think if somebody, like... gave a compelling performance of putting a curse on me or a hex on me or something, I think it would mess me up for a little while.
I mean, there definitely is something to, like, I used to be a lot more skeptical of a guy of, like, not certain things like aliens and stuff that I was.
Yeah,
always,
you are the least skeptical person. You believe anything you're told. You believed that Bruce Lee story that he was filming
Were you on some Angel City website telling you otherwise?
In order to save his younger and sister and brother. Bruce Lee's character joins a group of martial artists who are hired to retrieve a stolen Chinese national treasure from the top floor of a 5-story pagoda in South Korea. That's not an actor making a
movie. It might be a subplot. It might be a B plot line.
That he's also an actor in a film?
Yeah, he's trying to make a go of it. And then he's got to fake his death or something to...
Anyway, you said you used to not be as gullible as you are. Or you used to be more gullible.
Not as gullible, but I used to be like a lot more dismissive of like, I don't know, not spiritual things, but like, you know, I can't even like think of how to describe it. Just kind of like mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like a little bit more open to mumbo jumbo these days.
Like a curse being something where it's like, I used to be like, whatever. But nowadays I'm kind of like, you know what? I'd rather play it safe and you don't put a curse on me at all. Cause like you might not be putting a curse on me, but I don't know. There might be something to like, putting that energy into the universe.
That's the thing. I was about to say energy, and then it's like, that's the same fucking thing.
That's the same thing as mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
But I do think there's occasionally something to it, and I'd rather keep my nose out of it if I can.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Hey, stay away from the mumbo jumbo if you can.
I think those were I guess another one that I have on here.
That was the extent of all the cursed movies that you
no,
have?
No, the ones that
aren't necessarily cursed.
Yeah, that
cursed.
That there's like not something you can really point to why it would be this way. Another one that's like this is the role of Superman.
Right.
Kirk Allen, I think he was the first Superman.
That's a guy I've never heard of, Tom.
Yeah, he was in, you know, like some serials before George Reeves. It was more just, I think that the curse of Superman for a while, it seemed, was just, once you play Superman, you're typecast, and people can't see you in other roles.
Yeah, but that's not a curse. That's just like the Hollywood casting system.
Yeah. But like...
It's like how... You know, acting works.
Yeah. George Reeves died, we know. You know, originally ruled as suicide.
Everyone else was a TV show?
Superman? TV show.
Everyone else in that TV show died, too.
But he died under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
They made that movie Hollywoodland about it with Ben Affleck.
That's about him?
Yeah.
What was the one autofocus? That was about Hogan's Heroes guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Okay. Bob Crane.
Yeah. And then we know, you know, Christopher Reeve had a horrible accident and died young. Lee Quigley, who played the infant Clark in the first movie, was the victim of schoolyard bullying and died at 14 from solvent abuse. I believe that's like glue sniffing.
Jeez.
And then they also say like Brando had a lot of bad luck and Margot Kidder obviously had like a rough go of it. But I think that, but it's not like, and at the end
that's
of it.
That's Hollywood, baby. Yeah, that's Hollyweird.
Exactly. There's not like a, and who was behind it? Lex Luthor, of course. there's not something pointing to like, no, this guy said, you better not make a Superman TV show. It's only supposed to be a comic. If you do, I'll curse them forever. So
what's going on with that the new fella?
I think he's alive and well,
Jawline,
as far as I know.
Yeah.
And
Brandon Routh?
He's fine. Henry Cavill's fine.
Yeah.
I forget the new guy's name. He's that they're gonna make a movie with. He's fine.
Yeah.
Brandon Routh's fine. What's his name from Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman?
Dean Cain is better than ever.
Dean Cain's on top of the world. He's taking Hollywood by storm.
You know what I'd like to see?
What's that?
Dean Cain, Mary Lou Henner, older people romance thing.
Are they around the same? I think Mary Lou Henner's like a decent amount old. And why? Why would you like to see this?
I don't know. I think they're both kind of attractive.
How would, I'm going to be Mary Lou Henner's agent here for a minute. How can my client use her ability to recall anything in her life with her photographic memory in this film? She wants to start incorporating that into her acting.
She'll memorize the script.
Yeah. Well, they expect actors to do that on most movies.
Dean Cain. Yeah, no, but she'll be really good at it.
Okay.
He's 14 years younger than her.
Yeah.
That's fine.
A little bit
May, December.
Yeah, a little May, December.
Yeah.
What else happens in this movie?
I don't know. He like lifts a train above his head.
So
saves
he's
a bunch
playing
of people.
Superman in the movie.
Yeah, of course. Tim. Who else are you going to do? Oh, you're going to be cast Dean Cain as somebody else?
Tim, you're feeding into the Hollywood system that typecasts these Supermen.
The curse is real.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow. Well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Tim. Well, now that we've gotten all the movies that I said aren't cursed out of the way, hey, let's talk about some actual cursed movies.
Yeah, let's quickly go through that in 3 to 5 minutes.
And you were saying before we recorded, which is true, that like a lot of these...
That was off the record, Tom.
No, well, you didn't say it. So, and I, even if you say it, I have to agree to it for to count. I have to tell you this every week.
Yeah.
And I'm recording everything all the time.
Anyway. I've recently learned that.
Video, audio.
Spatial
information for later technology. With,
video of me using your bathroom.
Damn, I might.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just using the bathroom.
I might be able to use all the information gathered to make a hologram one day with you going to the bathroom.
I wouldn't mind. As long as I'm dead, show people whatever you want.
If I was like very rich and I had like a ornate fountain with just a hologram of you pissing on top of it, that'd be a pretty big flex. That'd be like, wow, you know.
I wouldn't curse you from beyond the grave, Tom. I'm dead in this scenario.
No, I don't know why you kept. You just assume you'll be dead before holograms exist.
Yeah, we're talking about the future here.
Yeah, they might come up with I mean, technically, they've already come up
with
holograms.
They've done it. I saw Will.i.am was brought into the CNN studio 15 years ago.
That's just a Pepper's Ghost situation.
Yeah, what do you think a hologram is?
Well, I'm talking about a real one.
You talk about Pepper's Ghost more than anybody.
It comes up a lot for a stage.
You shoehorned Pepper's Ghost into so many conversations. Like
for a piece of stage magic, it comes up a lot naturally in conversation. You know, Tim, 15 years ago, I cornered this girl at a party. I was like, you know, a lot of what they're calling holograms are actually just Pepper's Ghost. So you set up a clear piece of glass and then a mirror underneath.
She's like,
the stage.
I know. Pepper is my mentor.
I know. He helped me make the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney. So now we're going to talk about real ones. But what I was going to say is you were pointing out before that like a lot of these stories are just like awful and tragic.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even that much fun at all because it's real people.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, hey, movies. Hey, the characters.
Hey, movies.
Yeah. But, yeah. Let's laugh about the misfortune of others, I guess.
Well, let's start off with, this is a little bit of a Books the Podcast crossover, Tim.
Ooh.
Because The Exorcist, which I'm reading on Books the Podcast right now, patreon.com/complete guide. The movie The Exorcist was cursed. A lot of bad things happened.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go through.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about a demon.
Uh-huh.
For people who don't know The Exorcist, possessing.
Yes.
A young girl named mm-hmm. Reagan.
Yeah. And
played by future president Ronald Reagan.
And then priests performing an exorcism on her.
Yeah.
That's what the movie is about. So that's the kind of movie where you could see, oh, okay.
It was played by Ronald Reagan, and you know what his catchphrase was?
What?
Your mother sucks cocks in. Well? Well? You know what I was going for.
Yeah. Your mother sucks cocks in a whale?
Yeah.
Anyway. Here we go. Before the movie even started production, Tim, a bird flew into a circuit box.
I mean, that happens on most movies.
Causing a massive fire that burned down the set of Regan's family home. The only room that was unaffected was Regan's bedroom, in which the film's exorcisms would take place and were filmed in.
Right.
So, like, that's a good, A, nobody got hurt, nobody died. And B, it's like, oh, that is, I mean, if the devil was like, I don't want to make this movie, he might send a bird to go do this.
Right. Birds. Was it a crow?
It doesn't say what kind of bird it was. Also, do you think the devil would be mad about The Exorcist, or he'd be like, good, get the word out. All publicity is good publicity.
Let him know that I can strike anyone at any time.
Yeah, like, put the fear, you know, people are not as afraid of me as they should be.
Maybe it was God trying to prevent the Exorcist. God,
but why
want...
would he burn down everything except her room?
Well, why would the devil burn
I
down
think
everything
he's
except
like,
the
make
room?
Make the whole movie just in the room with me, the devil.
Oh, it was a gambit for more screen time.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, this is my ticket to stardom.
It was like
finally that, things are happening for old Lucifer.
That it was like the second worst idea next to that Jesse Smollett guy's idea to get more screen time on his TV show.
Yeah.
In both cases, neither worked. Okay. So then the next things that happen, Jack McGowran, whose character Burke Dennings is killed, spoiler alert, in the film, he died of complications of influenza shortly before the film's release.
How old a man was he?
Not sure, but I remember him in the film like, he was like, a smoking old detective. Like, he wasn't necessarily the picture of health. And that alone, I don't think is much. But then after that, you know what? This one's even more of a stretch. What is his name here? Vasilisky Milaros?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who played the mother of Father Damien Karras, died from natural causes that same year. In the film, her character also died after being admitted to a hospital. It's like,
eerily similar.
A lot of old people are admitted to a hospital before they die.
Yeah.
And she played, this priest's mother that in the book, there's even reference to like, when Reagan knows that the priests, I'm sorry, this is not an episode of Books Podcast here, but when Reagan knows that
the
priest Damien Karras's mother had died, but this is when he's still skeptical. In his head, he's thinking like, she's seeing a man in his 40s. It's not the craziest stretch to guess that his mother may have recently died.
Right.
So what I'm saying is they cast a woman who looked like she could die soon, and then she did. Not the craziest thing. What?
Do you know when Vasiliki Maliaris was born?
Oh, no. When?
October 16th, 1883.
Gee, yeah, come on, guys. She was almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
She was 95, I guess.
She died when she was 90, but like 90 in 1973 is like 150 now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably drinking a gallon of gin every night and smoking cigarettes.
You ever see like a picture of like a 40-year-old in 1973?
Yeah. They don't have any teeth anymore. not the craziest thing.
Like, oh, this movie's cursed. A 90-year-old lady who was born shortly after the Civil War ended.
Linda Blair and Max von Sydow? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Tragically lost family members during the production, and Father Karras actor Jason Miller had a near-fatal motorcycle accident during filming. I know he also later in life had very big problems with alcohol.
Right.
And especially in the 70s, he could have been riding drunk in that
motorcycle
guy.
Motorcycle guys.
Motorcycle. When I hear about somebody had a motorcycle
Hollywood
accident,
motorcycle
I'm not
guys.
Like, I'm not like, oh, but they're so safe.
Yeah.
What do you mean they had an accident?
A young Hollywood star who rides a motorcycle around and, he's
had
probably
an accent. Yeah.
Doing like the arm signals whenever he's making a turn.
Yeah, but we're very dangerous. Keep both hands on there. What's his name? Mark Hamill. That happened to him.
Yeah.
And then
he messed up his whole face for the rest of his life.
Well, they had to like write it into the script.
Yeah.
But I always
Luke
thought
Skywalker fell off a
did
space
his face
motorcycle.
Look that different?
Yeah, you ever see the before and after?
No, I'll look at the before and after. Not right now. It's fine. I believe you. I just remember when I saw those movies, I didn't really notice anything.
Yeah. You said not now, but now you're looking over at my screen.
Well, because you're still doing it. And then both Linda Blair and Ellen Burstein, who played Reagan's mother, Chris McNeil, suffered back injuries as a result of the production. But then they go on to say Burstein's injuries were caused by a harness that jerked her around the set.
Again, and Blair's production.
And Blair's were caused by poor rigging on Reagan's bed, which shakes about violently during an exorcism. Again, it's like, I'm sure there's, you know, some like old teamster or something that's reading these articles going, yeah, and that's why we fought for more regulations. You can't do this stuff. You can't just put them in a harness and jerk them around.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, I feel like a lot of...
Okay, verdict, Tom. Mm-hmm. Cursed or not cursed?
I don't think it's cursed.
Nah, I don't think so.
Because then there's also like, oh, and then somebody who made The Exorcist 2 died. It's like, all right, that now we're talking about a different movie.
It's a whole different movie.
But these two, Tim.
Hold on, I'm looking at I tried to find a before and after picture. It auto completed as into Mark Hamill before and after accident. But then I got this picture, which is Mark Hamill when he's like 24 years old.
Before and after 40 years.
Yeah, and then one from Comic-Con where like he's sweaty and bloated looking.
Yeah.
In probably, 2017?
Yeah, it looks about there. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's...
He looks different.
That's age will do it to you. Yeah. If that's... that might even be New York Comic-Con. He might have just had to walk all the way over to the Javits Center. That could explain why he's all sweaty.
Yeah, it was probably before that Seven stop.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah, I don't think that was in there yet.
Yeah. He's not looking good in that second picture. He's gotten better since then.
You know what, though, Tim? I was going to say he's in Fall of the House of Usher.
Hmm.
And he's great in it right now.
Yeah.
On Netflix. If you're looking for something spooky to watch, everybody out there. Mark Hamill playing like not the type of character he usually plays. It actually made me excited.
Does he play like a space Jedi in it?
He plays
something
like a space guy that has a sword made out of light.
Okay.
And he can like
that's
move.
Somewhat similar to
he
what
can
I've
move
seen
things with his mind. He's got like a little green guy that's teaching him how to do it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's actually,
it doesn't really go with the rest of the show, but it's, hey, it's fun to watch.
I like a little green guy in any context.
That's true. I think I do like a little green guy in most movies.
Hardcore Flintstone fans are like, no, the Great Kazoo ruined that show.
The Great Kazoo, was that his name? Yeah. Mark Hamill in this made me feel like, oh, is Mark Hamill kind of going for like, I think maybe like a character actor?
Mm.
Now, and it's like, oh, that would be like a good fit for him because, you know, he's done like voices for a long time, and in cartoons he's the Joker,
he's the jokester in Batman,
but in this he talks like this. He's got like a real gravelly voice.
Oh, he got into another motorcycle accident though.
Yeah, well, it's actual gravel in his throat.
He's got
We do ever ride a motorcycle?
Not at this point in my life, no.
not right now.
I have too much to live for and too much fear of death.
Yeah.
Would you?
I don't think so. They look fun. I've ridden like motorbikes and stuff, I guess. But but I've been terrified the whole time, and like, so I can't really enjoy myself.
On a closed track?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd ride
with like with like the proper safety equipment and stuff. Okay, so the next two movies,
you're
Tim.
The biggest wusses on it. Would you ever ride a motorcycle? No, me neither. Oh, God.
Oh, they're so dangerous and scary. Why don't we act like tough guys on the show? Why don't we just say we ride motorcycles?
Yeah. How hard is that?
Yeah, we ride motorcycles, but, you know, before the show, we go out.
On public streets.
We cruise the Pacific Coast Highway. Just to get it all out of our system, we come back here and we record. We speed, we switch bikes sometimes
while we're driving, yeah.
It's crazy, but, you know, that's just the kind of guys we are. We're tough, brave guys.
That's good.
These next two movies, Tim, I am going to argue were cursed.
Okay.
Poltergeist.
The Poltergeist.
No, it's just Poltergeist. Again, another Steven Spielberg joint.
Mm-hmm. He produced it.
He produced
Some
it.
Some people say secretly
directed it. Who's it?
Toby Hooper?
Yeah. Who directed
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Which that was cursed. All those a bunch of people got murdered by a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Massacred, they'd say.
It was in Texas, too.
Yeah, it was.
I forgot that part. All right. So first up, awful. The little girl died. Heather O'Rourke, who played Carol Ann Freely. I forgot to mention, I'm getting my information from allthatsinteresting.com, RottenTomatoes.com, and Collider.com.
Nice.
The mix of all those things. But she was only 5 years old when they made that movie. She was the one who went, "They're here."
Yeah.
Remember that? That used to be like a real scary thing they would show all the time. And they're like, "Remember scary movies? They're here." They don't show that when they're like, "Hey, remember scary movies?"
Have you seen anything where it's like, "Hey, remember scary movies" lately?
Yeah, but they've got all new scary movies.
They're like, "I'm the Blair Witch."
Yeah, or, "Oh, look out for me, I'm the Babadook."
Yeah.
So anyway, she was misdiagnosed with Crohn's disease and died. They think they actually had a congenital intestinal abnormality. So just sad and bad. Dominique Dunn, who played older sister Dana Freeling, was brutally murdered by her ex-partner. So it's just like another just bad
Halloween month is really the most fun month on The Complete Guide to Everything, right?
The next one's better, but I forgot this one's just kind of like full of tragedy. Will Sampson, who played Taylor the Shaman, he died after undergoing a heart lung transplant, and which normally—
Wait, this is a fun one, you said?
No, the next movie.
Oh, okay.
But it's like he died while undergoing a heart lung transplant, which we all know is normally just an in and out same day procedure. And then it was somebody died in Poltergeist too. But the big thing with this, the rumor for years, Jo Beth Williams, who is an actor on it, along with Craig T. Nelson, you know that?
TV's Coach.
Yeah, he played the dad.
Yeah, of course.
He played Poltergeist Dad.
Yeah.
TV's Coach and Poltergeist Dad. She claimed, Jo Beth Williams, that Steven Spielberg insists on using real human skeletons as props on set, though this has never been proven true. Apparently, at this is how crazy the 70s were, Tim. It's cheaper to use real skeletons than plastic skeletons.
Hey. There were no laws against digging up graves back then.
Apparently not. I think Steven Spielberg was probably just like, "Look, we got this prop warehouse. I'm sure we got 20 skeletons in there. Just throw them in the ditch and use those." So that was the claim for Poltergeist. But it's just kind of like, sounds like a bunch of tragedies again. Like,
you don't know the you didn't mention the one that isn't like the saddest thing on earth.
What's that? Maybe, you know, I don't know it.
That scene where the boy, I think it's a boy, is in bed and the toy clown starts strangling him.
Oh, yeah. It actually started strangling him.
It right? did. Like, the prop malfunctioned. Mm-hmm. And like, there was a thing where, like, again, slapdash negligent producers.
Filming with children, being like, "Just check it once. We don't have to check
it." And
it was
also like, "Man, this kid's a really good actor. He's acting like he's really getting choked out by the
purple."
Yeah, and they had to like go rip it off of him. Man. And
I think I do remember here, like the drawstring or something got right, like the string that you pull to make it go, "Hi, I'm a clown," or whatever.
Well, no, it literally strangles him in the movie.
Yeah, but like, I think it was that got stuck. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, anyway. And like, these stories come out. It's like, isn't it a curse? And like, a lot of people are like, "Oh, did the studio plant that to drum up?" It's like, did the studio plant that like they almost accidentally like strangled the child because like they didn't check the props properly.
Right, because most people probably read that story and go, sounds like a real slapdash set. Sounds like they were approaching things in the slapdash manner we're accustomed to in the 1970s here.
Yeah.
Rather than think like, oh, it sounds haunted, I should go see it.
Yeah.
But the one that
I like
sounds...
how often we're using the word slapdash today.
The one that sounds legitimately haunted is The Omen.
The Omen, which I didn't know. Never realized. That's a Richard Donner flick.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Superman curse. Yeah,
exactly. He brought it with him to The Omen.
Yeah.
All right. So here's some of the stuff that happened during this movie. Gregory Peck, who plays the film's protagonist, canceled a flight at the last minute for unknown reasons. Chillingly, the plane he nearly boarded wound up crashing to the ground, killing everyone on board.
What plane was this?
Like a private plane.
Oh, okay.
To make things even more...
Was it the one when... was it the day the music died?
It was not. The Big Bopper was not on this plane. But to make things even more eerie, the plane... It landed on top of a vehicle that had members of the pilot's family inside of it.
This seems...
Like the devil's involved?
I don't know. This seems fishy.
When Gregory Peck did eventually board a plane to England for filming on The Omen, his plane was struck by lightning. In a completely different instance, writer David Seltzer's plane was also struck by lightning while he was on his way to the film. So two people on their way to the film's planes got struck by lightning.
How often, and I don't know the answer to this, mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything, but how often do planes get struck by lightning?
I don't think it's like that because they're like built to be struck by, but they also avoid flying through storms.
Right.
I don't know. I've been on planes. I've never gotten struck by lightning on a plane.
Would you know it these days?
I think you would hear it, right? There would still be the loud crack of thunder.
Perhaps.
No, definitely. Because why wouldn't the thunder make, why wouldn't the lightning make a thunder sound when it hits the plane?
But maybe the, what is going on out on the
street? There's a parade going by outside. Sorry if anybody's hearing this.
Wow.
Very loud. It's pretty late at night.
Tom.
Yeah, let's stop her. Just passed. It wasn't even, it was on the corner during that.
Jesus Christ.
They had a light up thing in the front, like a Knight Rider.
Is this what... Or when they're like, oh, you get more conservative as you get older, where it's just like...
Just get mad about loud cars.
That guy should be sentenced to death for what he just did.
Yeah, because it's like, who? Nobody wants it. Nobody's ever like, oh, shit, yeah. This is,
you're just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right. Inconveniencing a bunch of people.
Let's get back to it. Oh, okay. Later, executive producer Mace Newfield said that Peck and others affiliated with the film had planned to dine out at a restaurant one evening, only for the building to be destroyed in a violent explosion.
Wow.
So they were like, let's go to this restaurant. Then they're like, let's not. Yeah, you know what? A long day or whatever. I'm just going to. And then the restaurant explodes. The special effects artist who created the Omen's decapitation scene was involved in a head-on crash that decapitated his girlfriend. Filming a Zeus...
Tom.
What?
Can we just pretend that what you just said was in a fictional movie and wasn't real people?
Why? Because
I want to say something.
All right. Where are you? Oh, jeez.
You mean... I think you mean they were involved in a head-off crash.
Oh, boy. But I couldn't. What did you get mad at me for saying before? Making jokes about decapitation. What the hell?
Children, Tom.
When it happens to an adult, it's funny.
I mean, it's not funny.
But you can make light of it.
You can. There's a pun. If there's a pun, you can reach for a pun.
I was only making fun of Vic Morrow.
And that's not...
Anyway.
Why do you have to keep bringing that up, Doug?
Why do you bring it up?
That's been upsetting me for years.
While filming a zoo sequence, the young boy playing the demonic Damien apparently upset the baboons so much that they started freaking out. So the animal wrangler was called in to help. The next day, he was mauled by a tiger and killed.
The
animal wrangler, okay. Not the boy. The crew hired
an animal wrangler was mauled and killed
by a tiger. Yeah,
on the set of The Omen.
The next day after they were done shooting at that zoo, it was like a guy who worked for the zoo, I think.
Oh, okay.
But because the
What are you bringing in the
baboons
young
got so upset because he had to come in to calm down the
and
baboons.
They're blaming the kid for the baboons and not the whole film crew and what.
I don't know what the kid
I've
was
never
doing.
Seen The Omen.
Well,
kid's name Damien.
Kid's name Damien. The crew hired a
there
small...
was a real religious family in the town we grew up in, Tom. Uh-huh. The dad's name was Damien.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that. But he was nice.
He was very nice.
Yeah.
He took me to see Wayne's World.
Wow.
Me, you know, like, and his son. Like,
right, right.
Know, we were too young to go to the movies alone.
Well, it couldn't have been that religious if he took you to see Wayne's World.
I know. And then he dropped me off and... at my house, and my dad was like, "How was the movie?" And he's like, "It was great. I got, I understood more of the jokes than they did."
Swing.
Yeah, he walked around town going swing. So I'm at church the next day. He was going up to get communion. Swing.
The body of Christ. Swing. That's wildly inappropriate. Get out of here.
Tom, this podcast is now cursed because we're...
I know. I can't wait to find out what tragedies befall us. The crew hired a small plane to do some aerial photography, but it was given to another client at the last minute. That plane crashed on takeoff and killed everyone on board.
Sheesh.
And then finally, while shooting a scene in the film, Gregory Peck's stuntman was attacked by trained Rottweilers. For some reason, the dogs went into a frenzy and ignored their trainer's command. The stuntman survived but sustained serious injuries.
Hmm.
And I feel like I haven't seen The Omen either, but I think that's like kind of one that it's not necessarily Damien doing bad things. That's like bad things happen when he's around. Like he is an omen for bad things coming. And it sounds like
he's the Antichrist.
What?
Damien.
Oh, yeah, he's the Antichrist.
Yeah,
too.
So it's not just like...
But also, he's an... you can be both nowadays.
What, just an unlucky guy and the Antichrist?
Yeah. I mean, you think the Antichrist is walking around the luckiest guy on Earth? No, he's the Antichrist.
No, the Antichrist is having a blast. We know who the Antichrist is currently, right?
Uh-oh.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because she's a clone of the Satanist.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that video, though? She does look a lot like that lady.
Tom, I have no idea what the hell you're talking
about. Wait, that did... Oh, then don't be throwing accusations around, Tim, about certain people being the Antichrist if you can't back it up with some evidence like I can. I was also reading about... This one I hadn't heard about. This, again, is like...
We're going long, but I don't think we're actually going long because I'm just... I've made so many mental edits in my head.
This one, again, I don't think it's necessarily cursed. Just like, oh, that was bad. That somebody should have
been
in jail for doing that. The movie The Conqueror about Genghis Khan.
I've never heard of this film.
Guess who played Genghis Khan? The year is 1956.
Marlon Brando.
No, John Wayne.
Oh, cool.
The most Asian man you know. The movie, I think, was like a gigantic flop, too. Apparently they shot the movie. The movie came out in 56, so they shot it, I'm assuming, 55, 56, maybe a little before. But
maybe even a little after.
Couldn't have done it after the movie came out. They shot the movie in a desert in Utah downwind of a nuclear weapons testing facility.
Okay.
In the 50s.
They didn't know. And I guess in the 50s they knew.
They did. They were like, we're making weapons out of this stuff. Yeah. It can't be great.
Yeah.
Of the 220 people involved with the production, 91 developed a range of cancers and 46 died as a result, including John Wayne, his co-star Susan Hayward, and director Dick Powell. This number doesn't account for the Native American extras in the film.
So Why not?
So I guess because it wasn't tracked, I'm sure. I'm sure like those people's names weren't written down anywhere. And also I'm thinking like, did they have Native Americans playing Chinese for this Genghis Khan movie? Like, I don't think Genghis Khan ever fought against like a Native American army ever. So I'm just kind of assuming there, but
hey. Unclear.
Maybe the extras wound up better off because maybe they weren't on set as much as like the director and stars and the crew and everything. But yeah, awful. And I didn't know that. I knew that that was how John Wayne died, but I didn't know that, you know, a lot of people speculate. Oh, yeah, this is when, yeah, you know how a quarter of the people in that movie died? That we think it was due to this.
Tom...
So not curse, just don't.
I no longer like Halloween month. This just bummed me out.
Come on, don't go that far. And then there was another movie that was cursed. And everybody saw a ghost, and that was as bad as things got.
Yeah. Man, the whole reason I wanted to do this, because I want to talk about Three Men and a Baby.
All right. Well, let me do the plug so we can talk about Three Men and a Baby. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can find our social media links there, our subreddit, our Discord. They're all popping off. You can check out patreon.com. For patreon.com/completeguide.
You can check out patreon.com. You can support a number of creators or start a project yourself.
patreon.com/completeguide for Books of Podcasts, a weekly podcast we do about books. I'm reading The Exorcist right now for Halloween month. You can get that. You can listen to all the back episodes of Books of Podcasts and more. Patreon.com/completeguide. And you can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
Tim, let's hear about Three Men and a Little Lady.
No, Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and a Little Baby. The prequel to Three Men and a Little Lady. That's the way I think of it.
Well, it's Ted Danson, Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah. You can find three bigger movie stars in the 80s.
No. They raise a child together, a little girl. She's left on their doorstep.
Now, and are they just roommates or something?
Yeah, but they're all cool.
And now, was Full House just a ripoff of that?
Huh.
You've never thought about this?
No.
I kind of feel like it was. I kind of feel like they saw the success. I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but I think they were like, oh, like three men that don't know how to raise, especially like a daughter.
Same year.
So just an example of Hollywood parallel thinking, or had these scripts been around forever? People trying to get Three Men and a Baby made.
Not sure. Well, there was a ghost in it, or so they said.
No, so you said. It's a stand-up of Ted Danson.
Not me. Like, you think I started this rumor?
You've certainly been instrumental in perpetrating it in recent time after it's already been solved.
Yeah, do I corner some people in Red Hook at a party?
You know, there's a ghost in Three Men and a Baby.
No, it's not in all the video store. The guy in Golden Video.
All the videos.
In 1988, I guess, when it hit video, took me and Sean Rogers aside and was like...
took you behind the beaded curtain to the adult section.
No, I think he was distracting us while Sean's dad went in there. showed us he's like, oh, here it is, here's the scene, you see the ghost. The thing is, we have a few videos of that, we have a few copies of this. This ghost only shows up on a couple of them, and on others it's not there. He's like, I've checked them all.
Isn't it funny to think about, like, that's just something like some teenager said because he was like bored you as a kid? Like, not, he probably did actually think that and was into it, but he was just like, I gotta say something to these kids And he said that, and you think about that every day.
Yeah. Well, it scared the hell out of me. And, like, how, like, number one, we were like, well, we got to rent the video and see if we get one with the ghost in it or
right,
without.
Of course.
But, like, that detail to me sold it for me, right?
That, where it's that's like, not in all of them, yeah.
And, like, it was somebody older than me who I saw as an adult. You're right, it was probably a teenager.
Probably in my like memory, a 14-year-old.
Yeah, it was like, you know, at least a 50-year-old man, right? Like, and it's like, well, you know, he told me that, like, I have no reason to disbelieve him. Why would the man at the video store? And, like,
this boy's 4 years older than me. Why would he lie?
Yeah, well, I didn't know that at the time. And I was seven, Tom.
Wow, you were seven?
Yeah. Huh. Or six or seven. But it's three men and a baby. Yeah. It's not like, oh, like, Poltergeist, like, this was cursed. It was like, oh, this comedy movie about three.
What about in Wizard of Oz? You see one of the munchkins hang himself.
That's not true. It's a bird flapping his wings. Yeah. I don't know.
I got a bridge to sell you.
Let's never speak of this episode again.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.